This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, so Dustin, one of the sales guys that works for us, was downstairs. And Dustin's like me. He likes to play the lotto.
Well, scratchy
and,
lottos.
And I saw him buy a $20 lotto ticket, and I was like, oh, interesting. And then that kind of heard like he had already bought three of the same ones. So he had bought four in a row. But this was going to be his fourth in a row. Had not won anything yet. And so I was thinking about it, and I just told Pete downstairs, I was like, I'll take the last four. I asked how many were left because I could see there weren't a lot left in the roll.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll take four. Because the idea here is it's really, really rare for a lot of the higher-end games, $20, $30 games.
Congratulations to you.
In the hills of Wadsworth. There is some gold in them there hills. but so I was like, the odds of getting nine straight tickets that don't win in that are pretty improbable. And so just right in front of him, I'm like, I'll take the final four. I looked him dead in the eye. Just dead in the eye. And then he's like finishing scratching off his ticket because I think I got in his dome a little bit.
Oh, you didn't let him go to Pete and ask if he could get one.
No, not at all.
Because that would have been hysterical, by the way. That would have been really funny if he went to Pete and then
there's
Pete's like, they're
over there. $2 million prize is the top prize over here.
I need you to scratch these. Now, when did you have these planned? I need you to scratch these by the time we're done with the show.
I don't think I can do that because if I won the $2 million prize, I wouldn't quit. Because that's not enough. Like, $2 million after taxes is going to be about $1.3 million. That's good money. It's not quit-your-job money, not at my age, right? But I would leave the show for the day.
I'm okay.
I would leave the show. I would kick open my door like Ron Burgundy. Not Ron Burgundy, like in Step Brothers with a beard fully engorged.
For the show,
that's where I'd be.
For the show, I will chance you winning $2 million and potentially leaving. Risked with the idea that if you get shut out, then Dustin gets the last laugh here.
But here's the thing. I don't care if you know that I win that kind of money. I don't want anybody else in radio knowing.
Oh, okay.
Because they'll put it on blast. But this is the worst knitting circle. I mean, the amount of rumors and innuendo about any one of us between all of us. I don't want people knowing I have that kind of money.
Do you think you get like lowballed contractually across the industry then, or what? Because people would know you like the money, but you don't need the money.
I mean, I might get lowballed just regardless. Okay, they just might want to lowball me.
I don't know what the downside is.
But
of people
knowing. Do I think this would help me in my negotiations? No. No, I don't think it would.
I don't think it would
Nick,
either.
You got to take one for the team here. We've heard you got $1.3 million.
Heard you had a recent windfall, as if they paid for that recent windfall.
But no, I would probably just pay off my house and then just put the rest of the money in.
Yeah, so I want to see you scratch it. I want to see what happens. I need this answer. Like, I need air to breathe. I need this answer.
I don't think I can. I think I would
Are you going to tell Dustin what happens regardless afterwards? You're going to tell him and like give him a
only
text?
Only if I win. That's where the spitefulness comes in. If I get, all right, so I spent $80 on that. The rare time I will do this, right? If I get back, like, once we get over 200, if I win more than 200, or sorry, 200 or more, he's hearing about it. If I just break even, I mean, who really wins there? I mean, he lost $80.
You had no intention of buying this prior to him doing that.
I just needed my mega ticket.
So if you lose, he just cost you $80. The spite play, the Larry David coffee store,
karma.
The spite coffee store cost you $80.
That's karma. That would be karma. And if I win, You can hear about it for a while.
I need to know.
This will be my...
Like, you can't hold this for me for the rest of the show. I need to know if you win or lose.
Dustin was the gentite on the... He was just constantly, the Browns should take Ashton Gentry. The Browns should take Ashton
Gentry. I heard about it today. I talked to him today earlier, and that's all he kept talking about.
This will be my version of Ashton Gentry with Dustin. Is every day it'll be like, man, those $200. They were so good. I mean, they just... Or even if it's more, gosh, the more it is, the better fun. If it's $2 million, are you kidding me? He might as well just quit his job now. I'll have the money. He might as well quit.
That's what it is. He might as well quit his
job. I'm going to walk in dressed in luscious furs with a pimp cane.
Yeah.
On Monday or tomorrow. I guess I could just do it tomorrow.
So we have a little bit of news from Adam Schefter.
Mm. All right.
I want the news sounder.
Ooh, look at that.
I got news for you.
Thank you. That was the perfect news sounder that we needed. Adam Schefter saying the Bills are signing former Browns receiver Elijah Moore to a one-year deal worth up to $5 million. He had Bills signing former Bills receiver Elijah Moore. He messed that up. Schefter messed up the tweet.
Oh, man.
Worth up to $5 million for Elijah Moore. That's pretty good money, all things considered.
Yeah, more. Hopefully, I'm right there with him.
It's funny.
He gets $5 million, I get $2 million. That's hopefully where we're going to be playing today.
I went on one of the Buffalo radio stations in the past couple days to talk about Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, tell us what you think about him. And I was like, well, he had a couple memorable games. He had the Denver game, right? Where Jerry Jeudy went for way more yards than him, so everyone remembers Jerry Jeudy being awesome in that game. I said 5 years from now, I won't remember a single thing Elijah Moore did.
Here's the thing. That's actually the better spot for him because he won't be expected to be number one. There's no expectations. And he's going to have a quarterback that can throw the ball to him.
Well, that's kind of like
it's
the
good
party,
to be Elijah Moore right
the
now,
The parting
right?
shot I had in the interview was the idea that Josh Allen should make him way better than the bevy of quarterbacks he had in the previous couple years. Josh Allen makes everyone better. The quarterbacks that Elijah Moore had, it wasn't really a fair shake for him at all. We still never found out what that disciplinary suspension was for, though. That kind of got swept under the rug. He was suspended for a game last year, Nick, and we never found out what that reason was for.
Yeah.
Nope. Like, because I wanted to be like, he was the perfect... teammate. Like, people liked him. People did like him. I talked to people.
We interviewed him two years ago. He's a really good kid.
Remember coming from the Jets, though, that was part of the problem, right? Because he just was throwing a temper tantrum. And he wanted more playing time. They weren't doing it the right way. And he just became a nuisance. And then he came here, and by all accounts, he was pretty good in the locker room. He was pretty good all the way around. But we never found out what that suspension was for.
I also remember the Browns put the unrestricted tender on them.
Yeah, rarely used unrestricted tender.
Another team did that earlier this week as well in a way that I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. Why are we starting to do this? But that means Elijah signing in Buffalo will count towards the Browns' compensatory pick formula. Pretty significant this year because, have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? The Browns didn't sign anybody in free agency and lost quite a few people out there in free agency. So that's good. Maybe a nice comp pick in the future, right? Elijah was a second-round pick, so he played a bunch. Not very well, but he played a bunch. So, like, yeah, these things matter. But let's get a third-rounder next year. Give me a compensatory third-rounder. I need it.
It feels like that.
Yeah. I'm always jealous when the Rams get, like, 17 of them and the 49ers get 17 of them, and I'm like, man, where's my comp picks? Not a seventh rounder. We got seventh rounder and sixth rounder this year. I don't want any of those.
Okay.
I want a third, fourth, and fifth rounder. That's where your boy gets happy.
Well, you know, Josh Allen thought he was going to have a big offseason getting all these different pieces, right? At one point, the Bills thought they were getting Myles Garrett, and instead they end up with one of the Bosa brothers and Elijah Moore.
And here's the other thing. Hopefully, Brandon Bean can stop accosting WGR show hosts.
It was that show that I was on, by the way. That was the show that I was on. And they made reference to it. No, it was
Did
the day
you
after.
Lead to? Oh, okay.
I didn't want to poke the bear or anything and make a bunch of references to the idea that Brandon Bean just accosted them. But that's neither here nor there.
That's exactly what I would have done. Elijah Moore signing in Buffalo on a one-year deal worth up to $5 million. Man, a lot of people want to see us. Want to see me scratch these.
I do
know,
too.
A lot of pressure.
I kind of want to see you do it, like well, as we as
is
we
just
kind of go.
You want me to eat bleep on it?
No, I'm rooting for you to win like $1,000.
Yeah,
and then we collectively. Well, I'm realistic about it, right? Like, I don't know what's your largest scratchy lotto win?
Probably about $1,000. Yeah,
I mean, it's still very good.
It's time. Those are rookie numbers.
I had a buddy of mine. I was with him. He won $10,000 once.
Take $10,000.
The celebration we were in college, and
college I might as well be $1 million.
I randomly was at the gas station with him, and I just pulled my car up, and I was like, "Oh, it's my buddy Josh. Great, weird about this. Josh actually works for the Guardians now in a fun twist of all that, but that's either here nor there. And he was at the counter. He bought a $20 ticket, and I was like, let me, I just sit there and watch. And he won 10 grand. Man. And he instantly pulled out $300 and gave it to the cashier.
That's really cool. That's really nice. You know who so my mom and my dad always played scratchers when I was growing up. I think my mom's due. I mean, my mom's actually had a lot of luck recently. I think she's been about a grand as well.
That's, I kind of feel like if you play your whole life, you have to have something of extreme substance.
If I won $2 million, I'd be thrilled. Don't get me wrong. I don't think I'd be happier. Like, if my mom hit, like, a Mega Millions ticket for, like, 80, I don't think I'd be happier for anybody in my life. Like, my mom has not had the best financial luck. My mom's got a lot going on in her life. She's, you know, lost, you know, both her husband and, you know, her boyfriend, not at the same time. separated by 13 years. But I just, like, that to me, like,
Thanks for the clarification.
I probably would cry if I won the lottery, like $80 million. I think I'd cry harder if my mom won. Absolutely.
I like that you cry in both outcomes, though.
Yeah, well, because your boy's going to get a little bit of that. I'm going to have a little. But no, mostly, I'd just be happy for my mom.
I'm not shy about crying, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know if winning $80 million... What kind of tears is that?
Do you sob? You are so full of it.
Do you drop to your knees and start crying? No, I'd run around like a crazy person. I'm crying.
I don't think
I've ever cried of happiness in my life. I can't think of a single time I've cried of happiness.
That's the saddest thing.
I cry when I'm sad. I'm crying when I'm upset. I don't think I've ever cried of happiness.
I cried of happiness when we're holding the twins for the first time.
For my daughter's birth.
Yeah, first one you're still processing, but the second, I mean, just tears, happy tears. I've happy cried very often. You've never happy cried?
I don't think I've ever happy cried. I can't think of a single happy cry in my life.
Is this where we find out great, you're a sociopath or
I've
something?
Lived great moments. I've had a lot of fun in life.
It doesn't sound like it.
I don't
like
think
it.
I've ever happy. It's not what I default to. I don't default to a cry in those moments.
I feel like I've had a pretty middle-of-the-road life. I've had a lot of good stuff. I haven't had a lot of great, 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 great things happen.
I mean, I guess great is relative. Like, I think having a kid is a great thing. I think getting married is a great thing. I guess it's all relative. But, like, no. I don't think I've ever happy cried.
You didn't happy cry at your wedding?
No. Did you?
Yeah, I teared up. I don't know that I wept, but yeah. Vanessa's grandpa, Chuck, came up and read a very nice thing, and Vanessa and him have the same eyes, so he looked up with tears in his eyes, and I was just like...
I'll say this. I didn't think there was pressure. We had a little stand in the corner for my dad for my wedding.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, there was a moment where, like, everyone acknowledges it and everything. I thought there was a lot of pressure to cry in that moment. I didn't cry in that moment.
I will say, pressure to cry moments, I clam up. That is so funny you say that. At my dad's funeral, I was reading something I had written for him and kind of like eulogizing him, and my sister was bawling. My mom was bawling, and I was just like, I'm dead inside. I have nothing. Now, I happy cried where we had a picture of my dad on the dais, the one step down from the final step at the church.
Yeah.
And I stepped on it, and the weight of my fat self.
You broke it.
No, what it did was it was on a pedestal, and it moved the pedestal, and my dad's, like, I just made a joke at my dad's expense, in love, not out of, like, spite. Ha, finally, you can't talk last. No, and so it flips out, and it right into my hands. And then I said, bastard can never let me have the last word, and then immediately got tears in my eyes streaming down my face from laughing, out of joy. Because it was a funny moment, something my dad would love. I've cried happy so much. And if you don't, you're probably a weird person, I would say.
Well, I just told you I've never had that happen.
Mac,
Had that happen.
Oh, my God. Mac is happy crying.
I can't think of a time I've had it.
You see what his life is like.
I just heard laughs from the back, too.
That was just mean. That was just mean.
If you're wondering if I set all of that up just to stick it to Mac there. The answer is yes. That was in no way personal.
Hell of a build-up.
That was in no way personal. Met with love.
What's the appropriate reaction if you win $80 million in a scratchy lotto?
I'll probably lose my mind at first and then maybe get to happy cry a little
bit. You are crying. You're happy crying.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, have you ever
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Be cried?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Jake eats a good sandwich and he happy cries, though. Like, I don't know that he is. I don't know that he's the judge.
That's meaner than the thing I said.
That's not mean. He's very... Jake.
At least I'm not a psychopath.
Oh,
I'm
man.
A crier too. I'm just telling him I'm shy of crying.
It sounds like you're not crying. Much of a crier.
In the moments, I'm very happy. I don't know. Maybe I just soak it in too much. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I didn't
know this was such a universal thing that everyone just happy cries all the time.
Keith,
all these great happy criers.
I mean, I'm about to happy cry right now because Jake just swung for the fences. Oh, Jake usually is the one
Jake's
that jumps
on,
me
he's
up.
On, he's on my side, usually.
Yeah, and that's what
See
makes it better.
See how the tables turn.
216-474-0092.
I think he's happy crying from laughter back there.
Jake B. has never happy cried. Does it make him a psychopath?
I guarantee you if I won $80 million, there's no tears coming out of my eyes.
It would be like an episode
around like
of
a crazy
Dr.
Person.
Phil where I raised a kid that wasn't mine for 18 years and I found out on national television. That's how hard I would cry if I won $80 million. I would call you, FaceTime you while crying, and also there'd be spittle flying out of my mouth. It would look like some sort of a... we're not going to talk about that. I was just going to say something else it might look like. 216-474-0092. Oh, man. Question is, have you ever happy cried? And another wild swing for the Cavs coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I will say, Chris Broussard, was it last week that Chris Broussard said the Celtics are going to steamroll through the East? Am I remembering that properly?
No, I don't think you're remembering it properly, because we were going back and forth about this, and I tried to find it then from last week. I was like, what did Broussard say? It was on First Things First, where they talked about it, but he said that he thinks that the Celtics would have trouble winning the East, let alone the whole thing. So Broussard actually, I think, belongs in our camp in some degree. That was April 21st he said that.
Well, now, after the, I mean, just mammoth sweep of the Miami Heat, Broussard on FS1, digging even deeper in for the Cavaliers.
Cleveland proved that it is the best team in the Eastern Conference. America, listen up. The Cavaliers are going to the finals. Take that, Boston. You don't do this to the Miami Heat. You beat them. We know that you can beat them. But to beat them by an average of 30 points a game, I mean, unless they just aren't mentally tough enough, which has been a challenge for them going forward, I think they are the best team in the East. And look, they played OKC and Boston even all year. 3-3 against those two teams. So they're all right there. But I think the Cavs can do it. Now, Cleveland!
Oh, this guy, it's a whole performance.
It's for you! Okay. This is for you!
Well, all right.
I hated that last little bit.
That was a lot.
Yeah, like you don't get to say that, Chris. I'm sorry. With respect.
He worked in Cleveland.
I don't care.
Okay.
Don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not been ride or die with his team since LeBron left. As a matter of fact, I believe this might be the last time he's talked about the Cavs.
Yeah.
Since LeBron left.
I didn't like how he did it. That was the difference there.
Yeah, that was also not a good Cleveland. This is for you.
It was like he half-heartedly did it. Like he didn't do it. If you're going to do it, you have to do it in a big way. He did it like he got worried the panelists, the people that was there, Nick Wright and Kevin Wilds, were going to mock him for it.
It was bad. I just think we have more and more proof every single day that people are jumping on the Cavs bandwagon, and I just don't know the Miami Heat series is the one we do that with.
I think this settled for a lot of people, like the playoff worries,
that they have around the Cavs.
Now, that's fair.
I think that's why they're swinging so hard in the other direction. And I am, as you are, I am a little surprised at how hard the national media is now just saying things like, we can beat Boston and the Cavs are going to go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, like, if I needed to see the Cavs do that from start to finish in a Heat series where the other team's just not that good. So, in terms of my concern about, are the Cavs going to treat this series with the kind of respect that you need to? Are they going to give away a game by just not playing hard or not playing smart? And like all the stuff that we said the two previous years, that's out the window. Now it's just about, all right, well, how much is the gap between Cleveland and Indiana? Like, this is a much, I'm approaching this a little bit more pure than I was the previous series. I now believe even more that they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think the Indy series is the one where if they make quick work of Indy, that's the one that I'm just going to be like, all right, the Cavs are, this is, we're about to go into like Mike Tyson versus Muhammad Ali in their primes kind of hypothetical fight.
But I like and appreciate that there's an acknowledgement, though, of what the Cavs did to the Heat. Yeah. Not only Heat culture, which basically you want to say that they killed Heat culture, then okay, we can go down that road.
They trade for Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Heat. It's Miami. They're always going to get guys. But the point is that it's not just that. It's more the idea that they legitimately set records for offensive awesomeness, I'll call it, because I don't want to say offensive rating because it makes it sound too analytical. But they set records for the offensive side of the ball in that postseason series. They didn't just beat Miami. They de-pantsed Miami. And I like that the general media is recognizing that. Oh, and in a series, by the way, that if you wanted to, you could say a lot of nice things about Boston right now. Have you looked at Jason Tatum's stat lines over the previous three games? He's averaging like 35 a game in that stretch. He's taking it to another level. Boston won by, 30 last night? They didn't even make that one a game. They did a lot to Orlando that the Cavs just did to the Heat. But the Cavs are getting a bunch of credit.
Well, and I just, listen, give them credit. But again, continuing to allow them to, because I guess this goes part and parcel with the idea of crowning them before. Like, I'm enjoying every step of this, right? And you know, the Cavs, to win a championship, that is about, I think we've forgotten this. Like, with LeBron, the second LeBron came back and you had Kyrie and the second you traded for Kevin Love, it was, nope, store-bought credibility, you're going to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
None of these dudes have the championships in the NBA. None of these dudes have that outside of Tristan. None of these dudes have that DNA yet. So there's a part of me that, like, if you crown them before they're ready, it cheapens the journey almost. Does that make sense?
Oh, like explain that. You think the journey's cheapened?
No, I just think if you prematurely put them out there of like, man, they're going to beat the Celtics, you're actually diminishing how hard it is to do that thing that you're saying. And then this is why the flip-flopping of the national media on the Cavs, where they're on the bandwagon, off the bandwagon, why it drives me so crazy, it's like, dudes, like,
so I look at it the other way, though. I look at it like as an acknowledgement of how hard it is and like the idea that you could take down Heat culture and everything that Spoelstra is able to do. Because there's people that do NBA commentary that think it doesn't matter what team Spoelstra has, he gets a first-round pass, essentially, because he's just Spoelstra, and he's going to be able to out-coach the other guy so well.
But listen, the point is, nobody thought that series was going longer than six games. I shouldn't say nobody. A fair amount of the people saying the Cavs should beat Boston now or whatever, however anybody's spinning it, fair amount of those people said, Cavs in five. So it's like, all right, the Cavs did something really, truly impressive. But let's understand that each next step that they pass, like this Indiana series is not a stepping stone. This is Indiana's a really good team. They play an interesting style of ball. They have a great head coach. They have a chance to kind of push back and to make you work for it a little bit. And then if you get to Boston, guys, we should treat it as an uphill battle and not some sort of, well, of course they can do this. No, to hell with that. No. This is year one of the team truly proving who they are.
Yeah, there's a lot they have to still accomplish. I don't think anyone is denying that. It's nice to hear people, even if it was only four games, it was nice to hear them understand that the Cavs can get to a level that maybe they didn't see in the regular season, which is wild because they won 60-plus games and were awesome.
Browns defensive tackle Mason Graham joins us in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan.